All right, everybody, we are back.
Double mic.
That is the voice of my husband, Marcus. I thought this would be a good intro to have Marcus on for a couple of reasons. One, this episode is with Mike, and we talk all about video, and we talk a little bit about editing and us figuring out these microphones right now.
Hilarious.
No, that's something we would have done on editing night around 12, 1 o'clock in the morning, going, oh dear, we can't get the audio to work.
I'm baffled by the idea that you all as teenagers would figure this out. I'm blown away by that.
Yeah. Well, usually there was like one person who kind of knew the software a little bit. But then when things didn't work, I guess looking back, I was like, well, of course it didn't work. But like I mentioned, it's Mike. And as we all know, Mike is a cowl. So we got a cowl.
Cool. No, it was great. It was very exciting.
Yeah.
Mike on the mic.
Oh. Ooh, did we just name the episode? We didn't. It's video. but we have Mike Cowell on the show. This is of a very niche podcast. This is hyper, hyper niche. We're talking about video, and we are talking about specific types of videos, tropes at Ooh. Camp, and then specific videos within those tropes.
Cool.
So if you haven't seen these videos, turn your imagination up to a 10 because you're going to have to picture a lot. So we talk about that. We talk about, obviously, I opened the pod up with what's it like being a cowl. So kind of get the inside scoop on a bunch of things there. So I know a lot of people, especially you, Marcus, are interested in that.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it's a good one. I think what people want to know in general is what are the perks of being a cowl, of being Tom's son and now Sam's brother? What does that look like in the off season? What is that during camp? Like, tell me everything.
Okay. The youngest age you can go to camp is like, let's say 5 years old. So the first perk you get if you're, you know, a relation of someone who works at the camp, and of course that's Tom or Sam, is you usually get to go a year early.
Nice.
That's not written down anywhere, but I've just observed that that tends to be true, and we got to enjoy that, or at least I know I did. So nice. I think when I was 4, I might have been a tenderfoot, even though it's usually 5.
Okay.
And of course I was so aware of that and so grateful. the first like meaningful perk that I noticed is that I got to kind of have my pick of what I wanted to do at the camp when I was a CIT. And I think everything kind of before that in camper world, it was more like learning stuff that was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So like the actionable stuff came in like the CIT years, where I'm like, I think I'd like to be like a video CIT, or I think I want to like see what it's like at the pool or something. Like that was really cool because I got to like let Tom know, hey, I'd be interested in this. And then it usually did happen. Like he, you know, that was the first pen he put to paper was, all right, Michael's going to do this.
Wow.
Or maybe it wasn't, and he just found a way to weave it in. I wasn't privy to the actual process, but I usually, you know, if I told him I wanted something, I usually got it. And that was pretty sweet. The camper years, I think it was mostly just like having access to camp videos, which you talked about like babysitting in one of your older podcasts. And I thought that was so awesome because I had no idea that that was something that you got to enjoy too when you were babysitting us. That you mentioned like, oh, I got to sit down and like watch old camp videos. I'm like, that's so cool. Cause that's exactly what the perk was for me growing up, was like being able to invite friends over and be like, you guys want to watch the 1994 camp video? And they're like, what? Okay, I guess. And it's like, holy crap, this is the funniest thing I've ever seen. I don't really get it, but it's awesome.
Right. Yeah. So, oh yeah. I put you guys to bed. And then I was like, did you go to bed? And then I'd like rifle through and be like, what year are we going to watch today? And
I think you might've also mentioned in that podcast, something about like counselor videos being there too.
Yeah.
And I thought that was interesting because those were not there that I can remember when I was watching. So I wonder if at some point a hand intervened and removed that from the cabinet as we came of age. I wonder if that happened. Cause I was like, I don't remember there being any counselor videos in there.
Yeah, so. I definitely didn't see counselor videos at your house.
Okay.
But I know they existed, and I would love to know where they are, if they are still around. Like the ones that we made, obviously, well, not obviously. I think someone has a copy somewhere.
Yeah, I think I've seen the one that you guys made because you were referencing it, and it was like, you guys were talking about crocodiliomai.
Yep.
And how frustrated you were at the slight variations as time had gone on.
Hey, sure.
And while you were talking about that with Katie, you hadn't even referenced the video yet, but you were just talking about like remembering how frustrated it used to make you. Yeah. And while I'm driving in my car listening to the podcast, I'm like, you guys made a video about this. Please remember the video. It was driving me nuts. I'm like, you guys made a video about this. And then like 30 seconds later, Katie's like, I think there was a video about that. And I was like, yes. I remember. I'm in.
I hadn't remembered that until she mentioned it. And that was real time being like, oh my gosh, that's right. Did we feel strongly about that.
Yep. Sitting up on the piano.
Yep. Yeah. That was
no one wants what. As you should, as a head counselor.
Absolutely. That was one of the first things I remember being a camper and seeing, like filing in to watch the video on Friday and seeing the like, three counselors sitting on top of the piano. And I was like, if I ever make it to be an assistant or a head, I'm going to get up there. And I think the first time it was video and I was in that situation, it was kind of like, we like filed in and I was like, out of the way, everyone, I have to get on top of the piano.
So, my time has come.
Yeah. Out of the way.
The version of that exists now, because the piano, I don't know if they got rid of the piano or if they moved it somewhere else. I just can't remember right now, but it's definitely not in that center lane anymore. So the version of that now is we bring up these long benches and put them at the back of the stables, mm-hmm. and the head counselors get to sit on a bench upright instead of like crouching on the ground or having to stand up for 30 minutes while the video plays. So that's the big version of the piano now. It's more inclusive because more people can fit on the bench,
sure.
yeah. but not quite as cool as the piano.
True. Oh yeah. Plus, and you get to help pull down the garage door. Yeah. I remember that being also a sign of power.
Yeah. Everyone's so grateful for being the hero when you do that.
Exactly.
Oh, and then it goes down a little too far and you're like, oh wait, I got to push the button again. And then it goes up. And you're like, oh wait, no, never mind. And then you just like, cool. So it's a real gamble.
Yeah. But you know what? It's and it's like, there's probably an easy solution somewhere, but we're never going to address it. It's just going to be something. We'll just do it every year and it will be fine.
Wouldn't be wonderful if it was perfect all the time.
Oh my gosh. So in the off season, are you guys like, how much does camp kind of weave through just like your family life? Like thinking of like when you were a little bit younger now, mm-hmm. like when you were all living in the same house.
So for my dad, before he retired from his career in teaching, he was an athletic director and coach and a teacher. And that took up an amount of his time that he probably wasn't thinking about it all that much during the year. But around springtime is when a lot of the planning would happen. And I know he would like go to camp and meet with Gail and meet with Sue. And they would start those meetings in the spring or maybe in like January and the new year or something, and start to talk about camp. And then it would really ramp up around the end of the school year. Like when school was ending for me, that's when I would start to be hearing conversations at the dinner table about camp. And it might be something like, oh, there's going to be a schedule change this year. And I'm like, oh, can I see it? Like, what does the schedule look like? And I get to see things in advance and stuff like that. And I'd start to say, oh yeah, this year I'm going to be an assistant. Like it'd be getting the perk again. It'd be so cool if I could be in games, you know, or something like that.
Yep.
So it was mostly like in the months preceding camp. And then after camp for like a couple of weeks, when everyone's kind of coming down, it would be like thoughts about how the year went. And sometimes Tom would be like, yeah, you know, I think this year went really well. I think maybe next year we might do this little change. I'd say, oh, that's interesting. And then we get into school mode and we forget about it again until the spring. Or at least I did. I got to because I wasn't in charge of the place.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
And then in the school year for me, it was just the videos. That was it for me.
Yeah. Okay. So this is like the fascination people like my age had with Tom, and I'm sure that happens now with Sam. It's like, it's kind of like when you're a kid and when you're at school and you're just like, oh, I think teachers live at school, right? Mm-hmm. You kind of like, we only would see Tom during camp. And we're like, well, this has got to be, you know, 24/7 all the time. So this is like a real thing that we're like, wonder what's happening.
Yeah.
But I remember there was at one point, I think you were a CIT, you may have even been a counselor, but the schedule was always like just written out in that, like Tom writing the like all caps, whatever. And then one year Tom was like, oh, look what Michael did. And you had typed up the schedule. Do you remember this?
Yep.
We were all like, whoa, evolutionary. Have a look at this.
And there are lowercase letters.
Yeah. And with all things that are even the slightest change from, you know, previous years, we're like, I don't like it. But like, of course it makes sense to do that on the computer. It's like, look what Michael did. And I was like, oh, Michael.
So proud. Poor Michael. He can't hit a ball with a bat. He's not winning any trophies at any games, but he can type up a schedule.
Man, fonts, this kid.
Yeah, that was something I was going to talk about too. I had something written on the agenda. It was like things never before revealed, and that was it. And now I realize you actually already know about this, but I had to like make the fonts for his quotes. Is that what you're referencing?
Oh no, I was just talking about the schedule itself. You did okay, that too.
So then attached to that, secrets revealed. Okay. Whenever Tom would walk around and hand out those quotes from, you know, Mao Zedong or yep. whatever,
yeah,
giving inspiration to the head counselors to delineate to the children. Mm-hmm. The quotes would all be in different fonts, and that's because he would come to me at the beginning of the summer and say, "Hey, Michael, here's my notebook. Over the year, I came up with all these quotes that I found in different books and on internet pages and stuff. And I really like these. Can you type these up and try to find like a font that works for that quote?" And I'd be like, yeah, sure. And that was kind of like my secret mission, is I had to like, okay, this one works with papyrus because it's like kind of Asian descent, you know? Right. And this one is like very studious. So it's going to be like Garamond. I had to kind of present it to him almost like a slideshow. And I'd say, okay, what do you think of this one? And he'd be like, oh yeah, I really like that. All right, go to the next one. And I don't really know. Can you make that one bold? And we'd try making bold. And he'd say, oh yeah, that's it. And we'd go through the like 30 quotes that he had, and it would be like a whole process.
Come on.
Yeah. So that was my secret mission every beginning of summer.
Wait, so you would do that at the beginning of the summer? Mm-hmm. I always assumed these were done on the fly. It was like
photocopying was done on the fly, but the typing and printing the initials was done at the beginning of the summer.
Come on.
Yeah.
That's amazing. And those quotes, as I'm sure you've, as an avid listener to the podcast know, man, it's like they left an impression. Like, in the moment we were like, oh, all right, another quote, but you know, as is evidenced from literally everyone I've talked to, it's like, oh, do you remember that? Yeah. You know, I kept that one. Cat Nutting's like, I've got one on the fridge. So yep. They're onto something there. Yeah, so
they all add up to something really special.
Yeah. Like it just, it's all these little things that as a kid or as a camper, you were like, I don't know, it's just part of camp. You're like, oh, look, it's impacted my entire life.
Look at that. I actually just remembered too, I think towards the last couple of years that he was doing those quotes, I think at least on one occasion, and maybe it was two or three times, I'm trying to remember exactly who it was. Maybe it's better that I don't know who it was, but he intentionally made like a false quotation from a counselor. Like, let's say it was AJ Friday or someone, or
yeah. Maybe,
am I not using last names? Maybe it was AJ.
Yeah. You,
and as an example of like a male counselor, and mm-hmm. he'd say, all right, Michael, I'm going to take this quote from Abraham Lincoln and I'm just going to apply it to AJ and we'll just give that out. And I was like, that's a great idea. I love that. And then we'd pass that out and it would be like, you know, 4 score and 7 years ago.
AJ. And then it like you pan over to AJ and he's like,
okay. Oh, yeah, I remember saying that.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I'm constantly talking in measurements of score. Yeah. Yeah. So what do you think, like in general, like growing up at camp, how that affects your personality? Do you think it, like, how do you think that impacted you?
What camp does for a lot of people is it helps you to come out of your shell and be able to work with situations a little bit better than you could before. And the longer time you spend at camp, the better you get, the more comfortable you get, to the point where after a while, after a decade or two, you can pretty much handle like any social situation.
Yep.
So it gives you a lot of tools, but I feel like I've changed my perspective over the last year or so. Mm-hmm. As I've matured and like turned 30 and had my quarter life crisis and all kinds of like things that happen eventually. Sure. And you reflect on who you are.
Mm-hmm.
I think I've discovered that camp didn't really change my personality, which I always kind of thought it did, but it rather just gave me like coping mechanisms that are super positive and super easy to use, to the point where I feel like I'm an extrovert when I'm at camp, even though in my regular life, I'm like wicked introverted and would love to stay and sit on the couch and watch a movie instead of like go out and hang out with like eight people at a bar.
Right. Right.
And I'm able to enjoy all kinds of things because of the tools the camp gave.
Yeah. I mean, I think you nailed it on the head. And an example, some examples of that are like, just like coming up with stuff on the fly, like just mm-hmm. the ability to wing it. And, yes. And again, like I'm thinking of the skits in general, and this may have just been me, my refusal to prepare for it. But I do remember Tom being like, yeah, just come up with something. It'll be fine. and then just knowing that you can do that and you're comfortable with the audience you have at camp, where like, this is where the, like on the first couple of days of camp, when a couple of people would boo at something they don't like, and Tom would be like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Like we don't boo here. And we, you know, we would be like, you know, we would talk about that after camp, be like, oh, we don't boo at camp. But by virtue of taking that out, it works, because then no one is scared to attempt anything. There's just like in the back of your mind or subconsciously or whatever, it's just like, I can get up here in front of 250 people and try something and it's going to be okay. And mm-hmm. even if it doesn't go well, and especially if it doesn't go well, I'm going to get a huge ovation.
Yeah. Way better if it falls on its face. That's the best.
Yeah. The worse it is, like the louder we're going to cheer.
I've always felt that way about skits, like, you know, the Friday skits that are live as opposed to video skits.
Yeah.
Not having gone so many years without having a tribe when I was working in video, I got so much joy out of watching the skits live, because I never knew what went into it. So there was so much magic there for me. And like, how do they come up with all this stuff?
Right.
And I remember always turning to someone and saying, this is the best skit I've ever seen. And I always found myself saying that when like the microphone was going, like the music wasn't playing, and they were like, Rob, turn on the song, and the kids don't know what to do. I was like laughing my butt off. This is the best. And like, yep. It hasn't started yet.
You are absolutely your father's son, though. He so many times came up and was like, best skit ever. Like best video ever. Just like, oh, that's great.
And yeah. It's not like, about what goes on in the background. It's all about how it presents. And if absolutely. It presents good, then nothing else matters.
So you got to enjoy some perks, and that's great. Yeah. So how was that a reason you became the video counselor? Was that a like, hey, I want to do video?
I think that was more like, that was a bit more earned. I'd like to think that, but I think I'm also very confident that that's the case.
Okay. Yeah.
Because from growing up watching camp videos since I was like 5 years old, which I didn't even realize was special for a long time. I thought like everybody got to take the videos home. That was just like, you know, just like any other movie, you know, okay. Like, oh,
yeah.
Toy Story. Everyone has Toy Story at their house.
Right.
Camp Video 1995. Everyone must have that if they went to camp.
I wish.
I recognized it. And I realized it was just me and my family. I was like, oh my God, this is so freaking sweet. And that totally allowed me to like sneakily get friends at camp, even though I was like a weird, shy, awkward kid. And I'd be like, hey guys, come over to my house and we'll watch the camp video. And they're like, yeah, sounds cool. And you know, that was a nice social boost for me.
Absolutely.
So watching those videos, it was very much a part of my development.
Yep.
In terms of like my sense of humor and my love for storytelling and my love of like characters and like silly sort of non sequitur humor, like why is that person wearing a sombrero? They didn't mention anything about a sombrero, and yet it is there and it is never mentioned.
Yep.
Like that kind of stuff now exists in the videos that I made when I was older, because I just love that. And that's like the spirit of camp.
Yep.
So the
irreverent humor. Do you remember? I remember some skits, just straight up, just Monty Python, like not changing it at all, just straight up doing Monty Python skits. And like, that was kind of the vibe. And I mean, Monty Python is funny, but it's a particular type of humor. Mm-hmm. But I think that that is the overarching type of humor at camp, or it was when I was there. Has that continued? Or
oh yeah, for sure. And,
yeah,
and that makes me think of a moment that I was just watching as I quickly like scanned through some of my old videos before this. I wanted to like make sure I was researched up.
Yeah, no, we appreciate it here in the pod.
There's this great part in a video where we were spoofing the Kardashians, and all the kids were talking in vocal fry like this. And it's we reach the end of the skit where they've all been kind of bullies to each other, and they're apologizing to one another for mean things they did. Mm-hmm. And you know, they one kid apologizes for something that actually happened in the skit, and then we move into apologies for things that didn't happen in the skit, and we eventually get to like, "I'm sorry, I stepped on your salamander," and the other kid who was just apologized to responds with, "What salamander?" And then we go back to the other kid who looks at the camera concerned, and they're like, huh? And then we just move on. And it's just left as this mystery, like, yep, whose salamander did he step on? And those moments and are just sprinkled in all the videos. And that has never gone away, for sure.
In terms of video counselors, because this is, there is a rich history here. Who's the first one you remember, like way back, maybe your earliest?
First memories I have of watching camp videos at home, which would have been around the same time I first went to camp, was around 1994, 1995.
Okay.
So I remember Bill Danner and Tommy Gilmette
as
the first video counselors. And Bill, of course, was in front of the camera a lot more, and Tommy was more behind it.
Yes.
So I remember Bill way more, but I could like recognize in their back and forths, Tommy would be talking from behind the camera and he'd be talking to Bill and having a conversation. So I knew that Tommy was there. I can't quite picture him in my head as a result.
So you know,
the first ones.
You know, Tom was the Nessun video guy up on the Green Monster for years.
That's really cool. Those are like the only times I've actually seen his face.
When
my dad has pointed it out when we're watching a game or something.
Yeah, and he's cool. Like a legitimate video person. Like that's obviously his job.
The only professional among any of us.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, so we'll get to that. There are a couple more. Ooh. But Bill is also responsible, I think, for my music taste. So,
oh yeah.
Yeah.
So Fleetwood Mac.
Well, so
that's
what
all I remember from the 90s videos is lots of Fleetwood Mac.
So okay, that's interesting. So what I remember is a lot of Counting Crows.
Oh yeah.
Alice in Chains, super uplifting. Like Rooster was one of the opening songs.
Get you up in the morning.
Yep. Candlebox. They did a video where, I mean, as we all know, you're not supposed to leave camp during the day. And they just did a video where it was straight up Bill driving to Taco Bell. And then they got in the car and they started driving down Pond Street. And then they overlaid just Candlebox's I think it was you. We'll correct it in post if I'm wrong. And then like when Dave Matthews really got big in like in 1994, I believe they played, what would you say, early in the season, and then Ants Marching late in the season.
Yeah.
Like I can remember just about every opening song from.
I remember you saying that in another pod, and that's very impressive.
Yeah.
I'm the opposite where I have no memory and everything is improv.
So I remember coming back and watching one of your movies, and who's it? Fleet Foxes, what are they called?
Oh yeah, Fleet Foxes.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, this is a nice song. And I was like, it doesn't really get you like amped up for anything, but this is lovely. but we did, like, I think the videos for me anyway, definitely impacted my musical taste, because then I associated those songs with camp. And during the off season, I was always like clawing for something to like relate back to camp, because I just like wanted it in my life all the time. And I was like, no, this is my taste. Yeah. And it brings me back to camp. And
An idea of like, this is camp music to me.
Yes.
And it's so interesting you bring that up, that like you came back and like the music had evolved to something different. And you're like, this isn't camp music. Because I had the same experience as I worked with a couple different video counselors. The first person I worked with in video was Kyle.
Mm-hmm.
And we threw some music together and I was like, okay, this is the sound I want to bring to this music video. I'm going to toss in two or three songs this summer that I really like into our 6 weeks of 6 videos.
Sure.
And he'd say, okay, great. I'm going to throw three songs in here. And then a couple years later, I started working with my friend Lauren, and that was a really awesome full circle moment for me getting to work with her, because we grew up together at the camp, became really close friends as explorers and CITs, and we watched a lot of these old videos just like for fun for many, many years before we actually became video counselors together. So that was a really magical full moment experience,
a full
circle experience getting to like work together in video after watching videos for so long. So we kept a lot of the jokes from like the 90s going.
Nice. Because
we had got to enjoy them. So we're like, let's just continue this on. And like, you know, Kyle was doing that too, and a few guys before him.
Yeah.
So like the going to Taco Bell thing continued. And
oh, did it? Oh, that's great.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I think as of, you know, just a few years ago, that was still
a good joke. Good. I'm happy.
Actually, Lauren and I made a video once specifically about how the Taco Bell in Franklin, which was the easily the closest Taco Bell to FCBC, changed into a Chipotle.
Right.
And the skit was about us going to Taco Bell, discovering it was a Chipotle, and we're both just looking up at it like, what is that? What's a chipotle? And we go in and we like hesitantly try the food, and it like magically turns us into fancy people. And we become like hipsters, and we're like, oh, I'm too cool to do camp anymore. I just want to write poetry all day. And we go around the camp, and the kids are just sick of us, and all the junior campers are like, stop it, you're annoying me.
Oh my God.
And they feed us Taco Bell at the end, and we turn back into our normal selves.
That's amazing.
The Taco Bell is still an intrinsic part of the video culture.
Oh, that's really good to hear. I also, getting back to Bill, who... Bill, if you're out there listening, I'd love for you to come on pod.
Yes,
I also have a memory of him at a cookout. You know, the campsite behind Adventure. So not the one that as you walk out is on the left, but like behind where like
the tire swings are.
Yeah.
Past the wall.
Yeah. Like probably the farthest one back there. And it was our cookout. I think I was an assistant, and he came down to visit. I don't know who it was. But we were having tacos as you do at any cookout. Mm-hmm. And he, had one, and he pulled from his pocket just a couple of packs of Taco Bell taco sauce. And he's like, I always travel with the taco sauce. And it left an impression on me. I was like, this is a pretty good policy.
That's good survivalism, you know, like always coming prepared. He must be a good scout.
We did, speaking of keeping up camp video themes, the year that I was in video, week five, I believe, we did the Van Halen song Right Now. And it was as we do at camp with literally everything, the literal interpretation of it. So it started off with a blank screen, and it said, you know, right now there's a blank screen, like, and we did the whole song. Mm. And that was just a ripoff. Like, they had done that before, probably 10 years prior to. And it's funny because we didn't even think that doing the exact same thing, like, there was no question. We're like, let's just do it. It works. Like, there was no like, oh, maybe there are new ideas. We're just like, well, here's 5.5 minutes. We'll fill up. It's a pretty long song.
Well, mea culpa. I've been guilty of that too on one or two occasions. I loved so much an old video from the 90s. I don't know what year it was, but I think Greg Bell was there as a video counselor. So it could have been like one of 3 or 4 years, I think.
Yeah.
Might've been him and John Crowley.
Yep. Also a real video professional.
Oh, right.
I went to Newhouse.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. They were at the table next to the theater, and they were eating cookies, and they wanted to have like milk with their cookies or something, but they had left their milk sitting out in the sun, and like the camera pans over and you see the milk just like sitting in the driveway of camp. Mm-hmm. They're like, ah, no, we can't have that milk. That's gross. But then someone, it might've been a camper, it might've been a counselor. I'm going to guess it was a counselor. It might've even been like Katie Crowley or something.
Right.
Ran over to the milk, opens it up, and just like dumps it on herself and starts drinking the milk while she's dumping it. And they put like clay on the top of it to look extra gross and moldy, so it just looked nasty. And then she's dumping the carton milk on herself. And I thought that was so funny. And then we actually recreated that, like what you said, about 10 years later. where Kyle and I were eating cookies with our tribe and our CIT did the same thing. And she ran over and dumped a carton of milk on herself. We're like, oh my God, why did you do that? And then that's the end.
That's the best part. Yeah.
We just had to find like frantic music to play in the background. And all the kids look horrified, like, oh, what are you doing? And
so it started in at orientation. There was just a focus, like, because you know, orientation is like the same every year. Like there was a point where you could walk, you knew the whole like 8 hours what we were gonna do. And this particular year though, there was just an added focus on, you know, you got to keep the pool gate closed because if the state comes and it was like, you know, you got to keep your eyes on the kids because if the state comes, like just a lot of talk about like the state coming. Mm. And then it was, I don't know, just kind of referenced throughout camp. And so they made a video where I was in games and he's like, hey, like come, you know, do this thing. So I was in the games field. And there was like this huge nail and I just like pick it up and I'm like, hey, do you guys want to like make sure you like put your nails like where they're supposed to be or whatever. And then the camera pans over and there's the state in full like Grim Reaper. He's got like the black cape with the hood on and like the notepad just making a note of what happened. Like, and it was like a bunch of things like that. He went around and it
was Greg in that costume. He was like in like a almost like a monk's outfit.
Was it Greg?
Yeah.
It was amazing because when you think about it, none of the campers knew that was like a highlighted, like we were talking about the state because we're talking about like the Board of Health or whatever, like coming in to look at the camp. So obviously that wasn't communicated to the campers, but it was like prevalent everywhere. Just it permeated everything we did that summer. We were talking about the state. So smartly, we're like, let's do a video on it.
Yeah. Well, it definitely communicated to the kids because I was a kid when that came out and I thought it was wicked funny. And I had no idea there was like a real world aspect to it because it's just Greg Bell going around in like a brown monk outfit with his hood up going, meh, 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 meh. Like, he didn't even say any dialogue. He just like mumbles.
Yeah.
And he like, I wish I could show the listeners of this podcast, but he like had this walk, like he was waddling left to right. So he didn't even walk like a normal person.
Yes.
To just better illustrate that people coming from the state are like villains who are others.
Others, definitely. Yeah. It was an amazing sketch.
Yeah. And then doesn't it end with him sitting down with Tom? And Tom, he's just seen all these atrocious like violations that should shut down the camp.
Yeah.
And Gale is so worried about it. And he sits down with Tom. Tom's like, what'd you think? And he's like, actually, Tom, I thought it was fantastic. This camp's doing a great job.
That's right. It did. Yes. In general, are those videos still at your parents' house, like just in video form?
The VHS tapes that I grew up with have been whittled down somehow, some way from like 10 to like 2. And
what?
I have no idea what happened to any of them. I have really easy access to my own videos because when I need a video, I'd like save it for myself so I could watch it someday with friends or something.
Right.
But the ones I grew up with, maybe it's because they just got old and like because they're tapes, they're more susceptible to damage and maybe they got wrecked and just got thrown out or something. But we definitely have lost track of some of them. I'm not sure where they went. So we definitely don't have like a complete catalog at the compound, the cowl compound.
I know.
It's maybe like a smattering of 90s and maybe like a single video from the aughts.
Okay.
Something like that.
Okay.
I wanted to ask you about a video that is my favorite from, I think it's from your year because I know you were heavily featured in it. So I assume it was a year when you were a counselor in video.
Sure.
And it was called The Lion King.
I was going to bring this up. I was a camper.
Oh, you were?
I think I was an explorer. Yeah.
No way.
The oldest group. Yeah.
Okay. So you were just the star of the video.
Only time ever. Yep.
And were you the Lion King?
I was the Lion King.
Oh my
God. I was.
I thought that video was so funny. It was like the best pun ever. And it didn't need to have any joke other than just the joke of the skit where it was like, it's not the Lion King. It's the Lion King. It's the person who lies a lot. And that's it. That's all you need. And it was like 10 minutes and it kept being funny.
I know. It was so long. That one specifically informed my sense of humor. I was like, this is hilarious. Like, is everybody seeing this? It's The Lion King. Yeah.
It was like, hey, where are we going next, guys? Oh, and you came out, you're like, oh, we're going to Woodlore. And they're like, okay, now I'll go to Woodlore. And then the Woodlore counselor is like, and I'm just making this up. Right. I don't know what activity it was, but it was like, no, guys, you don't have Woodlore. You have swimming lessons right now. And the kids are like, oh, the Lion King. And that happens so many times. And the joke never changes, but it's just as funny.
Yeah.
That makes it one of the four categories of FCDC video skits, of which I've determined over many years there are only four types.
And what are they?
That would fall into the category of a silly character comes to camp and wacky things happen to them as a result.
Okay.
So that's one category. Wacky character comes to camp.
Yeah.
Another category is spoofing a popular thing. So like movie, TV show, whatever.
Yeah.
Category three. Sounds like I'm describing hurricanes now. Third category is advertising a silly product.
Yes.
And the fourth category is dumping a gallon of milk on your CIT. Those are the only four types of videos that exist.
Category unto itself.
If anyone finds a camp video that doesn't qualify as one of those four, I will give you my address and we will have a fist fight. Because I'm very confident that everything could fall into one of those four categories. I have favorite examples of all of them.
Okay. So
funny character comes to camp. I'm going to scroll over here because I had a little list of a couple of my favorites that I saw as I was scrolling through my old stuff. Let's see.
Love it. Love it. I don't disagree, by the way. And just while you're looking for that, we also determined that the best thing you can do in like the music video portion is just put it in slow-mo. And one of the best things that is in slow-mo is kids on the swings. It's like always hits. Absolutely. Every single time.
Our thing was rolling down the hill up where the tent is, down towards boating and the bridge.
Mm-hmm.
And we did that so often as just like filler to put some fun looking footage into the music video that we ended up calling that Video Hill. And to this day, I still refer to it as a Video Hill because it doesn't have any other name. It's just like this in-between place, you know, between many activities. You guys were talking about that.
It's the best spot in camp.
That's the spot, right? Right next to the new office.
Yeah.
The hill below that spot is Video Hill because we spent so much time just having kids do stuff on the hill because
no
other activity uses that space.
That's awesome. Except for like a slip and slide.
That's one time we use that space officially. And exactly. If there's an Olympic torch lighting, of course.
Yes, I saw that. Amazing.
There was this video about a guy named Banana Man, which I played. That's going to be a common theme in some of these is it's a character played by me.
Oh, you're Bill Danner. I love it.
Yeah. 2 or 3 or 4.0 or something.
Yeah, I love it.
Banana Man, this is one of the skits that I really enjoyed because it created some camp mythology. And I always liked trying to make new stories that I would then continue talking about for years and convince kids it actually happened. So the skit was called The Legend of Banana Man.
Okay.
And it starts out... It was a longer skit. It starts out with this like sepia tone flashback sequence of like back in time, this happened. And it was like a beautiful princess was at camp. And it's our friend Ashley, who was the archery counselor.
Okay.
And she fell in love with a very handsome banana. And the camera pans over the banana with a face and a mustache drawn on it. And the banana's like, her, berber. And they had a beautiful child. And then there's another banana in like a diaper. And it's like, and he grew up to be Banana Man or something, and flash forward 5 minutes and now we're at the main part of the skit where he's just like walking around camp like all silly. He tries to come to camp and become a CIT. There was some kind of storyline where his parents' relationship was torn apart by the two families, warring tribes. It was like Romeo and Juliet kind of thing. He comes back to camp after being banished and he has this like awesome comeback. And then he has to like fight the white gorilla at the end to save the day. And the whole camp cheers and celebrates.
Oh my God.
Oh, and actually now that I remember, the conclusion of that was we got almost the entire camp to be in the video. We said, if you want to be in the epic last shot of the summer, come down to like the games field, second free swim or whatever.
Right, yeah.
A bunch of whole tribes came down and they like got behind Banana Man and like charged at the white gorilla to defeat him.
That's awesome.
And of course, the white gorilla panics, gets in a car, and drives off. And that's how it ends. Because he's a gorilla and he has a car.
Right, as he's wont to do. Yes.
So that was one. For advertisements, I loved just as soon as I discovered some background music that was super silly and advertise-y, we could just make any. And then some silly voice like, hey kids, don't you hate when this happens? And something that would never happen happens. Let's see. Oh, we made FCDC cereal, which was just like literally dirt and rocks that we poured into a cereal box into a little bag, and the kids poured it into their bowl and they're like, yay. And like the cereal gives them like powers to like run infinitely, and then they can't stop running, and then it's actually a bad thing, but they're still happy about it. And it would always end on a title card at the end that gives like a phone number at the bottom you can call to order it, and it would say like $19.99, blue screen in the back, and like a little video in the corner showing kids doing things that are unrelated to the ad we just watched.
Perfect.
And we always throw in a real phone number, so it would be like, what like boy assistant counselor's phone number can we put into the skit?
No so it'd be way. Like,
all right, we're gonna take Paul's phone number and put it right here in the skit, so if anyone has their phone, they can just call it and it will ring.
Come on.
That's I think really we did funny. That a number of times, and it was usually the same counselors over and over again. They'd say, oh, come on, man.
That's awesome. Yeah.
So those ads were a lot of fun. A couple other fun ones we did. Lauren and I made a spoof of The Hunger Games when that came out. Jeez. And we called it The Funger Games.
Sure.
And the idea of it was, there was a competition at camp where all the campers were pitted against one another, and they had to have as much fun as possible. And as soon as they stopped having fun, they were eliminated. Or it's as it was said in the skit, you were eliminated, because that's how Lauren pronounced it when she was doing her voiceover. And I still say the word eliminated that way if I'm like teaching. I'm like, all right, yeah, so when you're doing algebra and you cancel these things out, they eliminate each other. Another good one was the Why Wolf. You know, mm-hmm. we're all familiar with the dangers of werewolves,
sure.
but not everyone knows about why wolves,
sure.
which are obviously so much worse because you never know why they're attacking.
That's right.
And so that was kind of like the Lion King, where we had like a 5-minute sketch and we progressed from like hearing a howl in the woods and all the kids are really freaked out. They're like, what was that? And their CIT goes, I think it's a werewolf. No, wait, it's a wen wolf. That's way worse because you never know when they're going to attack. And the kids go, ah! And she's like, wait, no, it's a why wolf. You never know why they're attacking. Ah! Oh, and there was some kind of like philosophical back and forth with the why wolf. It kept asking them why when they would explain things like a 5-year-old would. There was one skit where I taught the kids physics. And that was like someone challenged me to do that at one point because I was like becoming a physics teacher.
Yes, I saw one of these when I went back to visit, and I was like, that's amazing.
It was called Myko the Science Bro. This was another Mike and Lauren creation.
Yep.
And I was just like, I bet I can teach these 5-year-olds at the camp a little bit of science. And so it ended up being a lesson on gravity. And we just ripped off Bill Nye the Science Guy and had like zippy sound effects, and like kids were involved in like experiments, and I dropped some CITs into the river and they landed at the same time. And that means gravity, blah, blah, blah. And it was digestible for a 5-year-old. It was just a little thing, but I was like, I'm proud of myself. I'm gonna pat myself on the back for that.
Yeah, Mike, I did see one of those and it was awesome. I remember I was like, he definitely, like, I just learned a little something.
I'm so happy to hear that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Well, Shay mentioned, I'll just jump in. Shay mentioned when we talked, she's like, we made, Mike and I by accident made the longest video ever.
Yes.
And she said to something to the effect of, you guys knew it was very long, kind of cut together a highlight reel that was like a half hour, showed it. And then Tom was like, hey, who wants to see more? And then just like played the whole thing.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened. It's true. We, without realizing it until it was starting to come together, we made it almost an hour long video. Like, I have no idea how it happened. We did not see it coming for at any point until we were like at the very end. We're like, oh my God, how did this happen? And you're right. We had to cut it into two parts, and we took just the best stuff that we were very proud of that we wanted to show. And then we took the stuff that was like meh and had to just slice it out. And we named the good one The Highlights, and we named the bad one The Lowlights.
Oh, jeez.
And so we just played the highlights for the camera. Like, oh, well, like at least they get to see our best stuff. And then, yeah, Tom's like, hey, we have some more time because it's raining, so we can't go out anyways. So you guys want to watch all the rest? And everyone's like, yeah. So we're like, all right, great. Now we get to end the summer on our worst videos.
Oh, it was it was like session 3?
I think it might have been, yeah.
Oh, no.
I'm pretty sure it was. And it was fine because, you know, it's still camp videos. It's still funny. But we had like all these like climactic, awesome last video ever of the summer stuff. And then it was like the least funny short shorts right after that. All right, great. one more video I want to tell you about that I'm super proud of, that it was, that I thought was really cool, is, I don't know what we called it. I guess we called it Time Machine or something, where we had time travel in a video. And, you know, it starts out as you would expect with like the kids discover a time machine and they hit the button and then we reverse the footage of the kids running at dodgeball and stuff like that. And a couple fun things happen. And at the end of the skit, I walk up to the time machine and I'm just like messing around, not taking it seriously. And I'm like hitting all these buttons like, oh, what's this thing, guys? And then I like disappear and the kids are like, huh, where did he go? And then like fade to black and then it fades back in. And there's like snow all around me and I'm at camp in the winter time. So we went, this was a Mike and Jess production from, I want to say like 2015. Mm-hmm. We went to camp in like the dead of winter after a really big snowfall. And we got permission from Gail and to just like walk out to like the archery slash games area and just like trounce around in the snow and film it. So that the next summer we could put it into the video and people like lost their minds. They were like, what
yeah. is this?
I was so proud of that. I couldn't do the video podcast without, you know, patting myself on the back for that.
Oh yeah. I mean, being the idea of being at camp in the off season, I think a lot of people are just like, wow, what's it like?
That's so amazing. Different.
So when editing things were, let's go back to like when it was every week you had to do a video. So what was your strategy? Would you have done any editing prior to Thursday night or did it all take place then?
I'd say once I got the swing of it, meaning like 2 years in being a video counselor, I understood that I had to start editing as soon as possible. Otherwise editing night could get pushed to like 1, 2 a.m.
Yeah.
And I know that that wasn't just me because I'd see the videos from like the 90s and they would put a timestamp in the video that they're showing to the camp of when they finished the video. And it's like 4:37 a.m. And it's a video of Tom in the like Medfield's like studio with his head on the keyboard. Like, oh, I'm so tired.
Yes.
It's like, okay, I know it's not just me. This is a real thing. It's hard to push all this together on the schedule we're on.
Yeah.
So I would edit a little bit on like the second day of camp and a little bit more on the third day. And then slowly but surely as the week progressed, we have certain things all filmed. And one video counselor would be filming the stuff that wasn't done yet. The other video counselor would be on the computer editing and we would just flip-flop throughout the day.
Wow. That's
usually what it was.
Wow. And it was one of the reasons because Scott brought this up and Shay actually mentioned it too. Is the reason you're not at video now or is one of the reasons that you wanted to have a tribe? Did that factor into it?
Yeah, there were a couple factors. That was one of them. Another one is video is like a young person's game. And like as the generations move on and like millennials are out now and it's all Gen Z is what's hot. My sense of humor is no longer going to be like good enough. You know what I mean? Like I need to see something fresh and I want to see something that's like new humor that I've never seen before. Like I can't get on my phone and do a TikTok and create something that's going to make Gen Z laugh. Like I have no idea what they want.
Right.
So I was kind of creeping up on 10 years in video and I'm like, oh man, like I'm proud of this. This is a huge accomplishment that I'm super happy about. Like probably one of the things I'll always look back on as one of my favorite things I've ever done is like multiple years in video. It brought me so much joy.
Yeah.
But you get to a point where you've done it for almost a decade and it's like, I bet somebody else could be doing something new and different. And Sam and I were on the same page, I think, without even discussing it. We were both kind of thinking like, time for something new.
Oh, wow.
Because I think one of his thoughts too was it would be nice to kind of have someone who's very experienced at the camp be in a leadership role for kids so that as he takes on this very important higher up leadership role,
right.
It's really easy that he knows he can count on an experienced staff to work with, you know, because it's a huge job, you know, the president of the United States has their cabinet, you know, and a program director needs their head counselors.
Yeah.
And that was
same.
that was a nice thought. It's like, oh, wow, what an honor that you're like thinking of me in such a way that I would be such a good.
So I just wanted to go back just in talking about the, because that's what I do best here. Go back. Mm-hmm. Video counselors prior to. Mm-hmm. So I think Bill and Tom are probably the ones that from my perspective anyway, had like the biggest impact on everything about my like camp growing up. But there was also, so after them, I think that's when John Crowley came.
Yeah,
John and Greg. John and Greg. So did it go Bill and Tom into, did Bill work with John? Perhaps.
So in, I know what I'm looking at right now, I'm almost embarrassed to share this, but
no.
When you made your podcast,
yeah,
I thought this is a way better version of the FCDC wiki that I tried to make a couple of years ago.
Oh,
which is a tab I have up right now, and I'm way too embarrassed of it
share
to post it because it's like five articles. Yep, so it's okay. Super lame.
Yeah.
But I was just bored one time and like, I'm gonna make a wiki about camp.
Sure.
There's a wiki absolutely about everything. There's a Star Wars wiki, there should be a camp wiki. And I have the tab up where I tried to come up with who were the video counselors in every year. So I have 1994. Danner and Gilmet,
mm-hmm.
1995, Danner and blank, because I wasn't sure.
Okay.
96, blank and blank. No idea. I think I just didn't have that videotape, so I couldn't like do that research. 97.
Oh, it was at your house at one point. That was the video I referenced where Einstein on the beach played. I think that was a Bill. Yeah, I think Bill was 96. Yeah,
that makes sense because he comes after that as well.
He's yeah.
94, 95, 97, and 98. So I assumed he was also 96, but could not confirm. You know, okay. I'm a scientist. I need data.
You're a journalist. Yeah.
1997, Danner and Warby.
Oh, yep. Okay.
98, Danner and Crowley. So that's when John came in. It's 1998. My favorite video that year is easily Godzilla.
Okay.
Do you remember the Godzilla skit from that? It was just an inflatable Godzilla that they just brought around camp. And it was like Bill's best friend, like, hey, Godzilla, what are you doing? Come on, we have to go to an activity. And John is like the total opposite. And he's reacting as a normal person would that Godzilla is at camp. He's like, Bill, we have to get away from him. He's dangerous. Come on. And he's like, no, this is my friend. And Dan, 1998, 1999, John and Greg Crowley and Bell. And then from 2000 to 2004, I have all blanks. So I have no idea.
So and Greg and I were in 01.
Someone listening to this podcast right now is shouting the name in their car.
I mean, probably
please
not.
Email the podcast.
Yeah, send us an email. Fill in the blanks.
Yeah.
Prior to Bill, there was a guy named Carl. Mm-hmm. And I can't, it was very close to Bill, but I couldn't tell you how long he was there for. There is a guy named Jerry, like way early on, who was in video when I was a camper.
I would love to see videos pre-90s because I don't even have like a picture in my head of what that was. Because I know it wasn't always like skits, right? In my understanding, it started out as just kind of like random footage of the camp. That's what I've been told.
Oh yeah,
so evolved into skits in like the 90s or maybe the late 80s or something.
Oh, that's really interesting. Yeah, because my only memory is the like the music video, some skits, the recap of the counselor competitions, and then we're out.
Because in 2005 we got Kyle and Alex Cutler, who were awesome at it and made such awesome funny videos, totally new style, super fresh.
Yeah.
Really loved their stuff. 2006, Kyle carried on and it was with Bree.
Oh.
Bree Sexony. And then 2007, Kyle and Alex again.
Ooh.
2008, Kyle and Scott.
Okay.
And then it was me and Kyle, me and Kyle, me and Kyle, me and Lauren, me and Lauren, 2013 at this point. And then me and Jess, 2014, 2015 as well, 2016 as well. And then me and Shay, 2017. And then me and a man named Howie Bean, who was at camp for 1 year in 2018, did video with me. That was my last year.
Okay.
And that's the history, folks.
Like it.
Down, I hope.
I like it. That's great.
Yeah. Take notes, people.